Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to CCL Products (India) Limited Q4 FY24 results conference call, hosted by Nirmal Bang Equities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Navalgund from Nirmal Bang Equities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Manav. Hello everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, I welcome all the participants to CCL Products (India) Limited's 4Q FY24 earnings conference call. The management is represented by Mr. Challa Srishant, Managing Director, Mr. Praveen Jaipuriar, CEO, Mr. B. Mohan Krishna, Executive Director, Mr. V. Lakshmi Narayana, CFO, Ms. Sridevi Dasari, Company Secretary, and Mr. P. S. Rao, Consultant Company Secretary. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Praveen sir for his opening comments, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek, and thank you, Nirmal Bang, for hosting us for this call. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you all to the conference call of CCL Products (India) Limited for the annual and quarter four results pertaining to 2023-24. Despite headwinds of volatility in coffee prices and geopolitical issues, the company posted strong results and achieved a turnover of 2,653.7 crores, which is a growth of 28% over last year. EBITDA achieved was 451.3 crores as against 403.1 crores last year, thereby achieving a double-digit growth of 12%. The PBT stood at 276 crores as against 305 of last year, largely due to higher interest costs and depreciation. The PAT stood at 250 crores as against 283.96 crores last year. Coming to the Q4 numbers, the group achieved a turnover of 726.72 crores as compared to 520.08 crores for the corresponding quarter of the previous year, and the EBITDA stands at rupees 122.24 crores as against 115.47 crores for the previous corresponding quarter. The PBT stood at 70.42 crores, and the PAT stood at 65.22 crores. The domestic performance continued its strong performance and achieved a turnover of 320 crores gross sales as against 250 crores last year. Out of this, approximately 210 crores was pure branded business, and the rest was bulk and private label. The acquisition of Percol finished in the month of July 2023. Thereafter, contracts with all the retailers were renegotiated. The relaunch with new packaging, graphic design, and product formulation is taking place this month, and also the supply of products from third party, which was earlier from the third party, has now moved to us, and we are now poised to invest in the brand and see it grow. The new facility at F&B started operations in the month of March 2024. The other project of FD at Vietnam is on schedule, and we should start commercial operations by September-October 2024. I now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Akansha Gupta from Solidarity Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, hello.
Hello. Sir, my first question is that what has been the volume growth for this year?
So if you see the at the group level, the EBITDA growth was around 12%, and our volume growth was approximately 14% for the full year.
Okay, sir. And if I remember previously, you have guided for a volume growth of 18%-20%. So why is the volume growth this year 14% instead as against our guidance of 18%?
Yeah. So if you remember, in quarter two, we had a breakdown at our NCL unit, which led to lower production there and subsequently, therefore, which could not be translated to sales. So we lost sales there. We had hoped that we would make up for the sales in the subsequent quarters of quarter three and quarter four. But unfortunately, because of so much of volatility in the prices, the customer acquisition and gaining new volumes became a challenge. So we could not make up for that volume that we lost in quarter two, and that is the reason we could not achieve 18%, instead of which we achieved 14%.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And just one more question. In the previous con calls, you have also mentioned that the volume growth would be 18 to 20% for the next 3-4 years. However,
right.
When I look at the previous last 7 years, 10 years, or even 5 years, the volume growth has been closer to 10%. So could you provide a little bit more granularity as to where this 18 to 20% volume growth would come from?
So, you know, actually, in most of the calls, we have kind of addressed this. The reason is basically, you know, just before COVID, the demand was there and we had planned our expansion. But unfortunately, during COVID time, we could not, go ahead for our expansion. And what we felt was that all the work, B2B business and especially Bharat and the private label business, they take a certain amount of gestation period wherein, you know, you sow the market, you sow the seeds in the market, you approach the clients, and over a period of time, they all fructify. And we could actually, from our strategy, see that in the future, we would be, if we are aggressive, we are likely to get 18 to 20% growth. And that's the reason we went ahead for our volume expansion and, and things like that. So that is the whole reason our new, this thing of associating with our partners, we said that we are increasing our business in North America through ground up. We are trying to, make inroads into the Eastern Asian markets in China through our, old associates and all that. So therefore, we were very aggressive in our approach. We went for expansion, and that's the reason that say, even if the CAGR was 10 to 12% over last 8, 10 years, we have been expecting more of an 18-20% going forward.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rakesh Vadhwani from Monarch AIF. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, coming to the first question, sir, if you look at the quarterly numbers, in this quarter, the gross profit growth is around 15%. In the last quarter, we had around 45 crores of revenue got deferred in the Q4 because of the Red Sea issue. So in this quarter, the volume growth is sub 10 or 9%. Any reason for that?
No, there's no reason. It got postponed. But, come to think of it, the reason that I mentioned that in quarter four, the customer acquisition was a little tough because of the coffee prices. I'm sure a lot of you would be tracking the coffee prices. It went to all-time high and unprecedented levels, so much so that, these levels were never ever seen in the market. And it continues to be on the boil as of now. So basically what happens is that at these kind of prices, the customers also become a little tentative. They don't want to go for long-term contracts. They are less committed. They almost work on fumes, saying that whatever inventory I have, I'll try and, work on that in this hope that in the near future, the prices could soften. So all of these leads to, very difficult times in terms of gaining new volumes. And that is the reason in quarter four, we could not gain as much volume as we had earlier thought of. But things look much brighter now. The coffee prices seems to be softening now. The Brazil crop is on the way, and so is the Indonesian crop and the Ugandan crop. So we are very hopeful that things will soon settle down in terms of prices. And that's when, our ability to drive more and more volumes will become much, much easier.
Thank you, sir. Second question, sir, with respect to other expenses in this quarter, other expenses, there's a sharp increase in other expenses. Any reason for that?
Largely, a lot of small pack volumes had increased, including the domestic volumes, because that is increasing a lot, and all the domestic volumes is largely small packs. And also in the exports business, our proportion of small packs has increased. So that led to higher, other costs where secondary packaging is included as the cost.
And sir, just one broader over a longer period question. In the past, coffee prices, if I look at say, last 5 or 10 years horizon, coffee prices have remained in the range of $2 to $2.5 on an average. And during that time, you were making 90 to 100 rupees per kg EBITDA on the spray dried side and the 120 to 130 rupees EBITDA per kg on the freeze dried coffee side. That has remained there, and because of that, we are able to maintain a ROC of 17-18% and a ROC of 20% around. That has remained. But now the coffee prices have increased from $2 to $2.5 to $3 to $3.5. In fact, it has reached $4 also. So, is there any potential for us to increase the per kg rate here? Because otherwise, our ROC and ROE will come down significantly because of increasing coffee prices.
So actually, it's a double-edged sword, you know what? So when the coffee prices are at high, what happens is that at a consumer level, there is a little bit of a downtrading, isn't it? Because, you know, everybody wants to go for, you know, smaller packs, cheaper version and things like that. And that is the reason, if you see, when the coffee prices were at lower levels, 2000 to 2500, as you mentioned, that time the demand for things like freeze-dried went up significantly. But as and when the coffee prices started to inch up, we saw that the demand for spray dried, you know, started to increase because there was a certain bit of downtrading that happens at the consumer level. So although we would want to increase our per kilo EBITDA levels, but a lot of it is dependent on the market forces as well. So that's the double-edged sword that we have, you know, one is faced with. But having said so, yes, from our side, there is a lot of attempt to make sure that we keep increasing our per kilo EBITDA, whether it is, you know, trying to enter into specialty coffee segments or driving more small pack volumes. All these are endeavors to make sure that we keep up our EBITDA levels. And that is the reason, in fact, in such high, volatile state of coffee prices being at such high levels, if you see our per kilo EBITDA levels is still maintained, which itself is a big achievement in itself. Because at such high prices, it was becoming very, very difficult to maintain that kind of an EBITDA margins. But we have successfully been able to do so. So yes, the effort is there. But unfortunately, because of the current situation, things have become a little more challenging. But having said so, we are very hopeful that these are untenable prices. Because, you know, at these prices, what will happen is that consumption will ultimately start getting affected, especially the out-of-home consumption. And that's when, you know, if the consumption starts getting affected, ultimately, the supply and demand would kind of normalize, and we are hoping that the coffee prices will quickly come back to the old levels.
Sir, one last question from my side. Is it possible if we are not able to increase the EBITDA per kg from us?
Sir,
I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to strictly two questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, you should rejoin the queue. We have our next question from the line of Janish Karia from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. The first question is with regards to the quarterly capacity utilization in Vietnam and India facility. If you can help with that breakup.
So in India, it is almost 100%, barring the new F&B because it started somewhere in mid-March, so that doesn't come in question. So in India, we almost utilize fully, and Vietnam, the total, matlab, the new capacity included, we are almost at around 65% to 70%.
Okay, great. Secondly, was there any impact with regards to delayed shipment or deferment of customer revenue because of the Red Sea in fourth quarter?
No, there wasn't any.
Okay, and how much of the sales in the fourth quarter would have been because of the third quarter sales being deferred to fourth quarter, as the last quarter there was some deferment?
Yeah, there is some benefit that we got in terms of top line. That is why you see that in quarter four, the top line was 726 as compared to 520 of last year, which is almost 40% growth. So there we got benefit in terms of top line growth in the quarter four.
Okay, great. And sir, next is on your branded and domestic business. Any guidance for the next 3 to 5 years? Where do we see this business going in terms of revenue and profitability? And what is our market share in India and overseas for the branded business?
So, you know, the guidance remains same. We are aggressively driving it and investing, you know, whatever profits we are earning. The margins are improving there. The branded play has increased, as I told you, out of 320 crores India sales. The brand sales is now at 210 crores. And we are looking to drive that aggressively in the range of anything around 30% to 40%. So that is what we are looking to drive the growth at, although the category is not growing at that level, which means that we will aggressively gain market share. You know, as we had informed you earlier, that we have been focusing a lot in South India, which is the coffee hub for the Indian coffee consumption. There we are now very close to 4.5% market share, and we now are firmly established as the number three player in the Indian market. We are now taking the brand to other geographies as well, and we are getting very aggressive there as well. So that's the plan for the domestic branded market. The international branded market, we are very, very minuscule. We haven't even launched our brands into any other countries, so there is no point talking about market shares there. Percol is very small in UK right now, probably less than a percent market share. But yes, as I told in my opening remarks, we are now have got the things right. We have got it relisted with the retailers, with the new packaging, graphics, and new product. And now that the product is being manufactured here, we are looking to invest in that brand and grow it substantially in the UK market. And then we are also at the same time evaluating if some of those brands which we bought, which is Percol and Rocket Fuel, where if we can take them into some other geographies as well. So that's the plan for our B2C business in the rest of India, outside India, as far as it is concerned.
Okay, great. Just one follow-up on the previous reply that you had given to the earlier participant. You mentioned that the freeze-dried coffee in a high coffee price environment, the demand is somewhere reduced. So, and we are putting up a freeze-dried capacity in second half of FY25. So if the coffee price don't correct and remain at an elevated level, do we see this capex getting deferred by 6 months or a year, or will we still commercialize the plant on time?
No, we will commercialize on time, because if you remember last time also, see, one of the reasons the freeze-dried capacity is coming at the last is because, you know, freeze-dried capacity, as you rightly pointed out, it's a more expensive capacity. We need to be very sure whether the volumes are there or not. And that's the reason we took some time. Only after we got a lot of assurances and underwriting from some of our key clients that they are ready to buy coffee, we went ahead and set up this plant. So I don't think so it is going to affect our volumes or our ability to sell. But what I was talking about is a general, you know, market scenarios when coffee prices go up, how does the market start behaving? And because the question was about, you know, per capita EBITDA, the thing is that, you know, after, you know, 2 years ago from there on, the first 16,000 edition is was of straight dried, which earns lower EBITDA than the freeze dried. So I was wanting to tell that, you know, maybe for this year and next year, we are not looking to substantially or, you know, increase our EBITDA per kg. But yes, the efforts are on. Thereafter, we will see that EBITDA per kg will automatically start increasing because of our efforts in small packs, you know, specialty coffee, more high-end coffee, the new freeze-dried coming after September. So all that will start playing up for us.
Sure. This is very helpful, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kashyap Zaveri from MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, yeah, you are audible.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. I have a question on our debt. I joined the call a little late, so I don't know whether this has been discussed, but at about 620, you know, our debt has gone up almost 3x in last 3 years to generate an EBIT number or PBT number, let's say, for example, versus 230 crores in 21 to just about 280 crores now. So, you know, incrementally to generate, you know, the profits, the component of debt has gone up threefold. Now, out of the 16, almost about 1,100 crores increase in debt, we have invested almost about 600-700 crores in working capital. I understand that this is also because coffee prices have gone up meaningfully, but what are our plans to control this part of the overall capital employed so that, you know, that 1,600 crores that probably at least doesn't go up from here?
If you look at it, we have taken up the two new projects wherein we are availing the funding from the banks almost around 650 crores. Out of that, around 450 crores, which we have drawn in this year, which is the part of 620 crores. And in the current financial year also, there is an amount of almost around 200 crores we had to draw for this Indian F&B business as well as the FD. So another 200 crores on account of term loan is likely to increase, number one. Coming to the working capital, so as you might be saying that we are going to give the guidance to the next financial year, 2024-25. The working capital utilization also, keeping in view of my free cash flows availability from the operations this year, there is a likely amount of increase may be there on account of working capital. So this is relating to two aspects. One is about the kind of earnings that we are going to generate, the free cash flow that we are going to generate, and as well the green coffee prices, how going to be ruled out. So keeping these two factors in view, the working capital movement is going to be there. So we really can't say that 620 is going to remain at the same level. It is likely to increase because, as I told you, that the volume value is going to be increased. So definitely
I understand that, sir, but the question is that, you know, that debt is generating, you know, probably top line, but not, you know, commensurating profits. So when you know, sort of talk about free cash flows, you know, ideally with such an expanded capacity, you know, at least investments in, you know, working capital plus, let's say, term loans for, you know, the expansion. So let's put the numbers in perspective. So our operating cash flow even this year, if I look at your full year, you know, cash flow statement that you have given for the full year, you know, it's versus an EBITDA of almost about on consolidated basis about 440 crores. The operating, you know, cash is significantly lower number. So either we control this with some tightening of, you know, our inventory, because then otherwise, you know, the incremental, you know, capital to profit ratio will continue to deteriorate.
No, actually the volume of the green coffee stock that we are going to maintain at the similar level. But the only factor it is going to come in place about the value of the green coffee prices. As I told you that as long as we expect some sort of reduction takes place from the existing level of the GC prices, which definitely is going to reflect in our working capital utilization as well thereby.
Okay. You know, the other question is on, you know, the issue of, you know, Red Sea. In terms of transportation, what part of our total top line, the impact of freight is on us?
No, actually, if you look at this current financial year, as explained by Praveen, there is in other expenses, the freight charges have no impact till December, till Red Sea issue, because everything is under control. Only for the intermittent period of almost around 45 days to 60 days in December and partly in January, there is an impact. But now everything is softened. There is no much. And also, what we are doing is we are shifting from C&F to FOB. So, which is not going to reflect in our other expenses, the logistics cost increase, if any. There is nothing is there.
And as of today, how much of, what percentage of our revenue we don't have FOB?
Kashyap, approximately 70-75% of our sales are FOB sales.
Is FOB sales. So about 25% is where the impact.
25% is, yeah, that impact could happen.
Whenever, let's say there is an issue, then that's the portion of the revenue that gets.
Yeah, yeah.
impacted. And I missed on the number of retail revenues that you spoke about in the domestic market. If you can repeat that number.
Yeah, so out of 320 crores of domestic sales, 210 is the retail sales.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much.
And just one more thing, Kashyap. Just want to add what CFO was talking about and your, to your query about working capital. Absolutely, you are right that working capital requirements have gone up largely because of our volume growth and the value of coffee prices. And it's been our endeavor to make sure that we kind of, you know, keep it control, in control. And as you rightly said, one of the ways is to do, you know, very tighter inventory management at our end. But sometimes at our, you know, at this kind of a inflationary trends, we also don't want to want the smaller, you know, suppliers to default on the contract and things like that. So we end up, you know, making sure and ensuring that that the coffee comes to us. And sometimes it becomes a little challenging to be on a just-in-time inventory. But having said so, also on the interest cost, we are working out 2-3 models where we could, you know, optimize our interest cost outflow by making sure that we are optimizing our borrowings between our entities, because we have got an India entity, we have got Vietnam entity, we have got, you know, a Swiss entity. And in the Swiss entity and the Vietnam entity, the cost of capital is much lower than what it is there in India right now. So we're also trying to optimize a lot of them so that we save on a lot of interest outflow. That will help our cash flows and our profits, thereby leading to better, you know, cash flow in terms of inventory management and working capital management.
Sure. Can I just squeeze in one more question on this CapEx side, if that's okay?
Right. Please do so.
Sure, sure. So just one last question. So on 1600 crores of debt, let's say our EBITDA number is about 445 crores, which implies about 4 times, you know, debt to EBITDA ratio. Now, in case coffee prices don't, you know, sort of cool down, maybe they remain where they are, and given our debt to EBITDA ratio, in future, can that impact, you know, our expansion decisions at all?
So, as far as expansion is concerned, you know, we have rapidly expanded and we are good for 27, 28. So, next 2-3 years, we probably are not thinking anything on the expansion side. So, that's not, you know, a primary thing on our head. The primary thing is that how quickly can we scale up our sales so that we get more and more sales and help improve our profitability. And as far as coffee prices, yes, I know for the last 2-3 quarters, we have been kind of saying that from the next quarter, it should soften up. But we, at least in this quarter, we can confidently say, because the signs are there, the Brazilian coffee prices have already softened by almost $600 to $800 per metric ton, which is a good sign because this is pre-harvest prices. Generally, just before pre-harvest is the price, because the availability is low, the prices generally go up. But the fact that pre-harvest prices have come down is a good indicator that post-harvest the prices should soften up. And also the Indonesian and the Ugandan crop, they're also on the way. So we are very hopeful that the things will settle down and there won't be an additional burden on our side.
Sure. That's it from my side. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Alok Shah from Ken Management Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. So firstly, a data question. Would it be possible to share the volume growth split between India and Vietnam business?
So, you know, generally we don't deep dive into volumes. These are a little sensitive information as far as competitive sensitiveness is concerned. So we generally talk about our volumes at an overall group level. Yeah.
Okay.
And as I shared to you, we did achieve a 14% volume growth over last year. So that's something that we can share. Little more detail in terms of, you know, where the growths are coming and where things are this thing, we can do out on a one-to-one call to whatever extent we can.
Sure, sure. The second question was on the Vietnam business. So if you look at the gross margin profile in the Vietnam business, it seems to have gotten impacted much more than what we saw in the India business. So any specific reason that you will allude to for the same for the Vietnam business?
No, it's not any specific reason. The only reason one could attribute is that, as I was telling you, it's correlated to the coffee bean prices. What happens is that, you know, you start selling more of base coffees in this kind of a scenario. where people are also, clients are looking to, you know, cost optimize. Everybody is looking to make, because, you know, everything cannot be passed on to the consumer. So in each of the value chain, there people are looking and pushing for optimization. And that's the time when you start looking for, you know, a much baser product so that that can be offered. Very simple logics, you know, in any consumer's industry, when the prices really go off the roof, the base segment products, they start selling more, whether it is a, you know, FMCG product like a toothpaste or a shampoo, or it is a coffee. So that's the reason what happens is that your proportion of base products or a base price product increase, that leads to a little squeeze in the overall margins, as one can see.
Got it, got it. So just a follow-up then in that case, so EBITDA per kg, say for the domestic business, would still be in the range of about 85, and for the Vietnam would be in the range of 125, 130 odd?
No, I think Vietnam, it was a little lower at 110 or 115, if I'm not wrong.
110, 115. Okay, yeah. Okay, sure. And just lastly, since we are doing this CapEx, and what I understand is that typically you would have, you know, contracts for at least 6 to 9 months visibility. Mm-hmm. But I hear that, you know, in the current times, the contract durations are getting shorter.
Mm-hmm.
So in that environment, how do you see the business panning out, especially on the top line growth? Because while you have retained 18 to 20%, but the moment the business has little short-term contracts, the visibility actually gets narrower, right? So why do we still see that 18 to 20% achievable? Thank you.
Absolutely. You are absolutely bang on. The only good thing for us is that, you know, if you see the consumption, and I'm talking about the end consumption. So the good point is that there has been no reduction in the consumption for coffee. So that's a very heartening side. People aren't drinking less of coffee because of higher prices. And the other good thing is that, you know, we are mostly catering to the in-home segment because we do instant coffee, yeah? And instant coffee is largely consumed in-home. So in-home consumption, we are not seeing any impact across the globe. So that's one good thing. Now coming to the clients, the only thing that clients now do is that instead of very long-term contracts, they kind of hold their positions and say that, okay, let me do very short-term contracts, because nobody wants to overcome it in this hope that if the coffee prices come down, it will adversely impact them. So that's the only thing. So the reason why we are still very confident, yes, you are absolutely right, the market has been very volatile. So it's very, very difficult to very earlier. Till last year, we could very, very confidently say that we are going to get 18-20% growth because we had 9 months to 12 months visibility, as you rightly pointed out. However, here the visibilities have shortened to maybe 4 to 5 months. So maybe that kind of a confidence is not there. But on the other hand, if the coffee consumption is intact, and with our kind of economies of scale and with our kind of ability to do with products that we can, we still are confident that yes, the contracts would be short term, but we still would be seeing a decent amount of growth.
Got it. Thank you very much. That's all from me.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Shirish Pardesi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, Praveen. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a few more questions. First,
sorry to interrupt, Mr. Shirish. Can you please be a little louder?
Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yeah, you're audible. Yeah.
So I have one broad question on volume. Would you be able to share what is the FDC and SDC split for FY24? And if you can give specific volume for India and international?
So as I mentioned in my last this thing, we don't break up volumes to that granularity. Yeah, all that we can say is that you know, the volume growths have been 14%. So that's what I can share at this point of time with you.
And the split between FDC and
similar. So, you know, the answer is same because of our competitive sensitivity. We don't share to that granularity because, you know, one would lead to other, and then I'll be forced to share very, very granular numbers with you.
Got it. Can you split at least quarter four volume growth? What has come, because there is a deferment of shipment which has happened, 800 metric ton. So I'm looking the quarter four volume growth for company. And also if you take out this 800 metric ton, what is the volume growth? So like for like.
So yeah, so quarter four volume growth is also on the similar levels. In fact, it will be a couple of percentage lower only.
And that is primarily because while we got this deferment, but as we were expecting that we would be able to sell more and more volumes, that did not happen because of these high coffee prices and the non-committal by the non-commitment by the clients to, you know, kind of buy at these prices. So that's the reason we could not get much higher volume growth as we would have anticipated.
Okay. My second question is on FY25 performance. What kind of growth aspiration in terms of volume value? Because now you mentioned in the beginning that coffee prices are expected to soften. So if the volume is going to be in your aspirational range of 20% plus, and if you need to reach that ballpark of 20% EBITDA margin, what are the growth levers you have for FY25?
So, okay, talking about, first of all, value. See, value is dependent on the coffee prices and what average base prices we sold this year and what average, because, you know, there is a longevity of contract. There's a lot of things that, that play up. So, therefore, let's not focus a lot on the value growth because that's a resultant number that comes up. Coming to volume growth, wherein our EBITDA is dependent on, that is something that, you know, as I was telling in my last answer, that till last year we were very confident of saying that 18-20% because that's the kind of visibility we had in terms of our, you know, say, order numbers. Considering the current situation, the order numbers are not very long-termish. We are good for next 4-5 months, but beyond that, there is a little bit of tentativeness from the client side. They're all waiting for the new crops to come and see where the volumes come, go. So that's the tentativeness that is there in the market. But having said so, because the coffee consumption is intact, we are not seeing any sort of a demand contraction. So therefore, we are you know, on one side, we are a little tentative saying that what could this number could be, whether this will be 10% or 12%. On the other side, we are confident that because the volumes are, or say, let's say the demand is intact, we still will be able to do that 18-20%. So yes, there is a range that we are now looking at. That if the conditions remain very tough and then the guys are very, very tentative, then we may not be very sure. But on the other side, if the consumption is intact, we are very confident that we keep maintaining that number. Now, what are the levers? The levers are not very different. The levers are same. There is a certain competitive edge that we bring to the table, which is in terms of economies of scale or our ability to do various products or our ability to reach out to the various corners and nooks and corners of the globe. So those levers remain intact, and that's the reason our confidence comes that come what may, we will be able to do good business.
Okay. My last question on the new businesses. Last quarter, you mentioned that you have about 4,000 vending machines and about 25 crore revenue. So in 210 domestic business, 320 domestic business, what would be the vending machine business and where do we stand? That's one part. And second, in terms of distribution, south, we had about close to 125,000-130,000. What's the March closing coverage in India, I mean, including south and west?
So, you know, first coming to vending business is a branded business because it is there with the Continental brand. So it is almost part of this 210. And the numbers don't change because that time also I projected that out of 210, probably 20-25 crores will be vending business. So that continues. We are aggressively driving that. But yes, we are also making sure that that growth is driven profitably because it's also a challenging segment wherein, you know, you have to keep a track that the guys who, where you install vending business, they end up buying the product also from you because there is a tendency from all the admin guys and the purchase guys to lower down their cost and they end up buying from, you know, other parties even if the machine is yours and things like that. So keeping that in mind, we have evolved a model which is far more, far more stronger in terms of tying it up. But what it means is that we now are not in a very, in a big hurry to keep putting up vending machines wherever somebody asks for us. There is a proper contract and things like that that we enter into. So that's about the vending machine business. The as far as the distribution is concerned, only in general trade, which is the Kirana stores, we are now at 1,10,000 outlets total, out of which approximately 85,000 outlets would be only in South India. Rest of 25,000 is divided into Northeast and West, where the large chunk is in North and West. East is relatively weak as of now, but understandably so because East is also a very, very weak coffee market. And we have another, you know, approximately 700 to 800 modern retail stores where we are present in. Online space is also doing well for us. Now we are present in almost all platforms. Earlier, there were certain platforms which are very strong in North, like Blinkit and all, where we are driving very aggressively. We have got into an annual contract with them, and we are driving very aggressive growth there as well. So that's a little brief on the domestic market.
So one follow-up on alternate channel, what would be the contribution for FY24?
Which channel?
Alternate, modern trade and e-commerce.
So if you add both of them, modern trade, e-commerce and quick commerce, all of them would contribute to 35% of our business.
Okay, wonderful. And this would have grown high double digit?
Sorry?
This would have grown on a YY high double digit or more?
High double digit. The whole branded business itself grew by almost 40% last year. Okay. And we are looking to drive similar growth this year as well.
Okay. Maybe this question you can answer.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Maybe request you to read.
No, I'm done. Just one last on the insurance update, if you can share, or maybe you can cover later. Thank you. All the best.
So there is, in one line I'll answer this. There's no, process is still going on. So we haven't got the money. We are still waiting for them to complete their process, and then we'll see. As soon as we get any firm answers, we'll let you guys know.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Rohan Gupta from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is that your outlook which you shared on green coffee prices likely to come down. Sir, historically in last 2 to 3 years, we have seen benefit coming to us from the Brazilian markets under pressure, putting the pressure on Arabica consumption and lower exports, while the Vietnam markets have gained because of the high production of green coffee there. Sir, current estimates and the forecast indicate that the Brazilian production this year is likely to go up, while the Vietnam may face drought kind of scenario. Do you see that this is going to have a negative impact on our blended realizations or pressure on margins further because of the Brazilian market and the dealers there further dominating the market how it used to be 3 to 5 years back?
So not really. You know, one of the advantages that we have is that we can import from anywhere. So there is no reason why we can't buy from Brazil. In fact, you know, to give you a little insight, we have, you know, our channels, connects in all of these coffee growing this thing. So for our main advantage is that we can buy from anywhere, wherever we think that the coffee prices are its best. So it doesn't put us at any disadvantage and therefore we don't see any margin contraction. Suppose it happens like this, that the Vietnamese coffee prices still are at a high and the Brazilian coffee prices drops down. So we'll be happy to buy from Brazil as well.
No, sir, because we have gained a lot of market share in last 2 to 3 years because earlier was a big buyer from Brazil. And, yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, again, as I have told in many of the things that it is not just a linear thing that just because, you know, Brazil becomes non-competitive, we gain market share. It's also the other things that we bring to table, no? Because, you know, it is not very, very simple. The other fact is that, you know, at current volumes, we probably are the most, you know, a company which is, which brings a lot of economies to scale. So to match our kind of economies of scale and prices becomes very, very difficult for other people. The third thing is that selling is a lot about, you know, you having your feet and legs on the ground. As I've told this many number of times, that the kind of associations and the kind of associates we now have at all the nooks and corners of the globe, that network also helps us gain that kind of an advantage. So today we have, you know, all the legs and feet, eyes and ears on the ground. We know what is happening in each of the market, where the demand is likely to go, what is the kind of, you know, consumption patterns that are evolving. So all of this, you know, it's a combination of all of these competitive edges that we bring to the table. And therefore, we are not very worried about the fact that if the Brazilian coffee prices have come down, I'll lose back shares to the Brazilian guys.
Sir, second question is generally, sir, in terms of margin, we see improvement when there is a rising price scenario in the industry. However, we are expecting that the green coffee prices will fall. Definitely, that may lead to, some boost to consumption. But in general, a lower prices or falling price scenario may have a negative impact on our overall working capital and short-term impact on inventories and all. So how we are gearing up for managing that change, which we are expecting in a falling RM prices?
So, you know, first question, only if the raw material prices are constant and you increase prices, your margin will improve. But we work on a pass-on model, which is the cost-plus model. That whatever the price is, we keep a certain amount of per kilo margin and that's the price we quote. So therefore, in any of the scenario, risen prices and lowering of prices, we don't see any margin impact on our business. The only impact that we see is that at lower prices, the commitment becomes long-term. At higher prices, the commitment becomes a little short-term from the client side. So that's one. Second is that, in fact, as far as the question comes of managing our working capital and our inventory, we'll be very happy if the prices come down because everything becomes that much more easier. Now, how does it become easier? On the working capital side, of course, I have to spend less to store the same amount of coffee. And also in terms of my supplies, I can hold less stocks because in a lowering price, I am very, very confident that there won't be any defaults or any, delays. In the rising prices, I am a little worried that there could be certain defaults from small people, so that I would like to hold more stocks with me rather than keep it at their place. So all that challenges are there when the prices are rising. So in fact, the situation will improve dramatically for us if the prices were to fall.
Okay. Sir, just next question, if I'm allowed to. We were talking about definitely in next 4 to 6 months with the expected decline in the prices, especially emerging from Brazil and all. So we are not confident about volume growth. Though consumption is not impacted, but you also guided that maybe in a near term, the volume growth can be even a 10 to 12% as well. So this is basically because the customers are not giving you commitment, or you see that there is not enough room for pushing this kind of inventory in the market, or you don't want to push the inventory in the market because of the volatility in prices.
So largely because of the customers not giving long-term commitment, not beyond that, because everybody becomes a little more tentative at this point of time, and nobody is giving you long-term contracts. Yeah. So in fact, 2 years ago when the coffee prices were at 2000 levels, we used to get even 2-year contracts. That okay, for the next 2 years they used to give us orders and we would supply. But that situation has changed because of these high prices. Even they as a customer wouldn't want to commit for so long because nobody is sure of the coffee prices, of which way it is going to go, how much is it going to rise or fall. So that is the reason we are saying that, it's not that the confidence is low, but the kind of commitment that we used to upfront give last year or last to last year because we had visibility till 9 to 12 months is a little iffy right now. That's it.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Lokesh Mandlik from Vallum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, team. Just a couple of questions. One is a clarification. We've seen a correction in gross margins from last year, about 45% to 31% this year. Would you attribute this completely to the product mix change that you mentioned, that less of freeze-dried, more of spray-dried? There are other factors as well.
So, two things. One is, I don't know if you're referring to margins as a percentage of sale. That drops because of, the coffee prices going up. So, it's actually a virtual drop. So, therefore, we generally urge everyone to see at in connection to the volume, which means that EBITDA per kilo, that hasn't dropped for us. Yeah, there is a little bit of a proportion change in terms of higher SD volumes, but that we have been able to overcome through selling more of small packs and other little better profit business. So our per kg EBITDA hasn't come down much there. Maybe 2-3 rupees or 5 rupees here or there. That's it.
Understood. My second question is on the working capital debt. Of the 77 crores of interest costs, how much would be attributed to short-term borrowing, that is working capital, and how much would be long-term, roughly, if you can share that. And just a follow-up on that is, you mentioned your strategy in a volatile environment is to hold on to stocks so that small suppliers don't default. Do you see yourselves passing on this cost of inventory going forward? Is this something that you pre-booked in the time of interest cost in terms of holding the inventory? Is this a write-off for this year, or do you see this getting priced into your contracts for the following years?
So, your voice is not very clear, but I'll try and whatever I could hear, I will try and answer your this thing. Out of the 1600 crores debt, approximately 600 is long-term debt and 1000 crores is working capital. Now, working capital is largely dependent on the green coffee purchases that we do. It will depend on the volume of business, growth of volume of business next year, and also the coffee prices. So, let's say on a stagnant price basis, if you are looking at a 15% or a 10% or a 20% volume growth, the working capital will increase accordingly. And the rest of the increase would be coming in because of coffee prices. Or decrease if the prices were to go down. In terms of our inventory management, as I was telling a little while earlier, it will a lot depend on the trend of the coffee prices. If the trend starts going down, then your ability to hold lower inventories increases. But it becomes opposite in an opposite scenario of increasing prices. So that is there. We are also trying to optimize our outflow in terms of our interest cost because of working capital. Because of we have three entities in India, Vietnam, and in Switzerland, and of course outside India, the cost of borrowing is much lesser than the India borrowing. So we are seeing that how we could restructure our working capital so that requirements so that we pay less and less of interest. So that's something that we are actively doing. But yeah, there is a certain level of inventory that we have to hold because it's a large operations now of almost, it will become 76,000 metric tons. So there is no way that we could avoid holding inventory, and therefore our working capital requirement will remain.
But fair enough, Ravi. My this question was that can you pass on this cost of inventory holding of this year to the next year to be forward year contracts?
No, I don't think so. We can pass on. No. We can't pass on from this year to next year because we have held inventory and that cost is our cost. So we have to, pay interest on that.
Understood. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Bhargav from Ambit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on your
Sorry to interrupt, sir. May I request you to use a handset?
Yeah, is this okay?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, on this branded business in India, my first question is that at what turnover can we expect the business to start generating double-digit EBITDA margin?
So, we already last year, we were at around 7-8% EBITDA margin. So, we are very close to double digit. But that's not, something that we are actively looking at because, we have just scratched the surface. We are very small when we compare ourselves to the large players in the market. There's so many things that we need to do. And we were very aware of this fact, and that's the reason from very start we had given the guidance that for long years we'll keep investing in the brand because investing in the brand is a long-term phenomena. It's not that you invest for 4 or 5 years and then you kind of back off because the moment you start backing off, your ability to grow becomes lesser, but also your brand equity starts dipping. So there is a certain amount of investment that the brand will keep or the brand will require. So we will keep doing that. So that's something that we are not very aggressively looking at. We have given a group guidance that will remain. But on the branded side, our guidance has been more on top line, which is to keep growing at 30-40% year on year and see that how much of leverage we can take by investing back the profits that we are generating from the brand.
Okay. And so now that we've added significant capacity on our OEM side of the business, in the next 3 to 4 years, do we see any significant change in terms of our international mix as far as the country revenue is concerned?
So it could change because we are looking to make inroads into newer markets. And there are certain markets where we haven't been very strong. We had capacity constraints, so we never marketed our products very aggressively there. So there is a certain amount of new markets that we are opening. So obviously the proportion will change. But having said so, you know, what will happen is that the markets where we have very high bases like the CIS countries, we may grow a little less. And because of the low bases in some of the other markets, the growth will be higher and they will start keeping, you know, increasing their proportions. So yes, we are looking to, you know, the proportions will kind of change in the next few years. Also, in terms of our product profile, the proportions will change. We are looking to drive more of small packs. We are looking to drive more specialty scope, premium coffees. So a lot of it will change. It's a ever evolving, you know, market and category, and we will keep trying to, you know, make sure that we also evolve with the market and with the customer needs.
And lastly, sir, in this hyperinflationary environment, is it fair to say that our performance would have significantly improved vis-a-vis our competition? I know it's very difficult to track that metric, but given your market intelligence, is it fair to say that?
Absolutely. I think, you know, without taking names, if you were to see the results of all our compatriots and all our peer group, you will see that our performance has been, you know, significantly better than most of them. So with very good kind, the reason I use most and not all of them is because there are certain data even I don't know. But, you know, with a fair bit of confidence, I can say that we have been an outlier amongst this kind of an environment.
Okay, sir. Thank you for your answers and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Akhil Parekh from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, are we seeing any opportunities of inorganic growth given that the coffee prices have increased so sharply? I'm assuming that the smaller players will feel more pressure than what we are feeling in terms of working capital and debt position. So, are we seeing any sellers out in the industry? Except for specific?
Yeah, Akhil, you know it, how the industry works. There will be, you know, fallouts because of such kind of a situation. If the situation is becoming tough for us, you can even imagine what would be happening to the smaller guys. And, you know, without divulging much details, every other day we get a proposal from somewhere across the globe. But yeah, we have to evaluate everything on merit and our requirements. We already have expanded a lot. So really can't say with authority that what's going to happen in the future. But you are absolutely right. The situation is like that.
Sure. And just two questions. Just to clarify, one, you were saying the current capacity of 76,000 tons, which we'll have after the FDC capacity expansion in Vietnam, that is enough for us to drive the growth say till FY27 at least, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And lastly, on the short-term debt position, you mentioned if the coffee prices remain same at current level, the increase in short-term debt will be exactly in proportion to the volume growth.
Yeah.
Is that understanding correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Devanshu Sampat from Avendus Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir, good afternoon. I have two questions. So just first one is, would it be right to say that your buyers or the, you know, the inventory at your the retailers is probably lower than average? And if so, if you have the information, can you help quantify it? That is one. And can you also give us some updates on business development in US and China, any new contracts, new wins?
So the first question is about retailers. You're talking about our B2B business?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, very difficult because, you know, there is no syndicate data that tells you that what kind of inventory they are holding. It's mostly market intelligence that we get and therefore we are commenting what we are commenting. So difficult to quantify, but yeah, we know that they all are at very, very thin levels. And everybody is, you know, managing as much as possible, literally working on fumes and running the business like that, because the kind of price increases, and every day there used to be a $100-$200 increase at some point of time, not very far ago. So therefore, people are not willing to commit. So that's what we can say. Second question you asked was about, sorry, can you just repeat your second question?
Major business developments in the US and China.
Yeah, business development. So business development, yeah, US is an ongoing process. We are now, you know, pretty much growing at a very, very decent pace there. So that development is happening. We are acquiring new clients through our associate there. So that is there. And last time we spoke about our association with our earlier partners whom we are connecting to make inroads into the Eastern Asian markets like China, Taiwan, etc. So that work is also starting. As you know, B2B takes a little time because you have to, you know, there'll be a market seeding. You'll have to go to all the clients, present them your samples. So it's a little reiterative process till they find you suitable for supply. But again, a lot of work has happened already. We are into in midst of lots of talks with clients, and soon we are expecting to see volumes coming on that front as well. So a lot of work is happening on the new business development front.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of. We have the next question from the line of Omkar Arora from Iraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one question I would like to ask again. Aren't we concerned about the debt levels because we are almost there at the peak debt that we expected at the start of last FY?
So, you know, frankly speaking, we are not very concerned. The only reason is that, see, our working capital debt is against confirmed orders. So it is not that I am using working capital or taking working capital debt to, you know, hold inventory or to produce something which I don't know where will I sell. So because it is against confirmed orders, we are not worried on that front. It's mostly, you know, the people outside our organizations are more worried than what we are. So we are not really worried. Yes, it does show up a little bit of a stress on our balance sheet and all, but that's something that is part of our business. That is how our business operates. So therefore, I don't see any cause of worry on that front.
And any updates on the capacity expansion that you could undergo?
Yeah, I gave an update. The update is that all our capacity except the Vietnam freeze-dried capacity is up and running. And the Vietnam freeze-dried capacity will be up and running by the month of September and October. And that will complete our current expansion process. And we'll be at around 77,000 metric tons capacity at that point of time.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be the last question for today due to time constraint. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us. And thank you Nirmal Bang for hosting us. We look forward to meet all of you again in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your line.